Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And by the way, coming up tomorrow, a follow-up Friday segment on something that came up briefly the other day about Jared Loughner. We'll ask, what's the relationship in some people between marijuana and schizophrenia? We'll take a closer look tomorrow here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Right now, we continue our January series. We're calling Money You, Some of the Basics of Financial Literacy. And one thing the financial crisis taught us is that we can all stand to be a bit more financially literate to avoid foreclosures and debt problems and the like. And while learning about banking and savings can be helpful if you're just starting out, what if you're already in trouble and can't start from scratch? I'm joined again this week by Deyanira Del Rio, Associate Director of the Nonprofit Neighborhood Economic Development Advocacy Project, or NEDAP, to talk about debt collection. And we can take your calls. NEDAP hears a lot of abuses when it comes to debt collection. If you're in the process and have questions for Deyanira, you can give us a call right now. Questions about debt collectors and debt collection, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Hi, Deyanira. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi.
And should we start by saying that part of what becoming financial literate can provide, financially literate, is learning how not to take on more debt that you can afford, especially since no one seems to be teaching the banks not to loan out money to people who can't afford to pay it back?
Well, let me just start by saying we sort of avoid the term financial literacy for a couple of reasons, one of which being that we feel like low-income people who are making ends meet in New York City are actually quite savvy financially if they're able to do that on the limited incomes people are earning these days. So our workshops, we tend to call them financial education, financial justice. And certainly one of the major problems is the growing debt levels that people are saddled with as a result of irresponsible lending practices, as you referred to, and really the explosion of this, you know, the credit abuses over the past decade, when pretty much anyone with a pulse could get a credit card. And oftentimes those credit cards were provided on really abusive terms. And that's led to this fallout of debt collection that we're dealing with.
So how big is this problem? Do you have any sense of how many New Yorkers are dealing with debt collectors right now?
There are countless New Yorkers dealing with debt collection. One of the things I'm talking about today is specifically debt buyers, these companies that are sort of the newer and growing segment of the debt collection industry that go after people, including through lawsuits. And to give you a sense of the numbers, there are hundreds of thousands, at least 300,000 New Yorkers each year that are sued in New York City civil courts by debt collection and debt buyer companies. So that gives you a sense of just the the number of people that get to court.
And where do the abuses come in? Because certainly people have a right to collect their debts.
Certainly, right. We get that question a lot. Shouldn't people pay back their debts? And certainly we're not suggesting that people ditch their debts. The problems are manyfold. One of the most prevalent problems is that in many cases, people are being sued on debts that are not actually theirs. So that's number one. Could be identity theft, someone with a different name, you name it. The model of these debt buyers, their business model is to buy up these old defaulted debts, these old unpaid debts, either from original creditors or other debt collection firms. And they buy them for pennies on the dollar because essentially the original collector has given up on them. So they get them really cheap and they go after the individuals that they think owe those debts and aggressively collect. So that's one problem. The debt may not belong to that person. When it gets to the point of filing lawsuits against individuals, which is what we're seeing more and more, is the strategy, they're actually filing lawsuits that are often baseless. So that means they don't actually have the legal proof that's required to sue someone in court. A related problem to that, the third major problem, is that when these debt buyers are suing people, they're not giving them the proper legal notice that they're being sued. And as a result, people don't show up in their court appearances, and the debt buyer gets a default. It's called a default or automatic judgment in their favor, which they can then use to go after that person's assets, bank accounts, wages, and so forth.
So what can you do in a situation like that?
Okay, so number one, call NEDAP's hotline, which is free and is available for lower-income New Yorkers. That number is 212-925-4929. You can also go to our website, which is NEDAP.org. We have a very thorough section of self-help materials for people that outlines what you can do throughout the debt collection process? How do you negotiate with your original creditor? What are some letters you can send to debt collectors if they're engaging in illegal practices and so forth?
And listeners, if you want that phone number and you missed it as it went by, get a pen. We'll give it to you again before the end of the segment. Larry in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Larry.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a consumer debt defense and bankruptcy attorney, and one of the things I find is that a lot of people get tripped up on the fact that they think they may actually owe the debt, and there's a difference between owing the debt and whether or not you're being harassed and basically given faulty service to force you to pay that debt. And when people get stuck there, not realizing that they have rights and there are protections out there for them, they often end up making horrible deals with debt collectors and debt buyers to get rid of a debt that that debt buyer may not have even been able to enforce against them had they known that there was help for them. So many thanks to NEDAP for all the great work you guys are doing.
Thanks for that comment.
Thank you, Larry. Robert in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hello, Robert.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling for a friend who owes a lot of money for student loans taken out many years ago. And he was recently contacted by a collection agency, and the total is something like $170,000. He's been contacted in the past when he was unemployed, and now he's employed, but he's making about $35,000 a year. So it just seems like it's an amount of debt that he's never going to be able to deal with. And the other thing is $30,000 of it or so is so-called fees. And was wondering, for one thing, how does he even go about finding out what he actually does owe?
Yeah, we hear actually a growing number of complaints from people who call our hotline that are struggling with student loan debts. So most of what I'm going to be talking about today relates to non-student loan consumer debts. Unfortunately, with federally insured student loans especially, the rules are different, and it's more difficult to sort of deal with those loans. So I would suggest that you ask your friend to call the hotline, and we can explain to him what rights he has and what options might be available to him.
Well, let's go over some of the basic rights in general. People can ask debt collectors to verify the debt. Right?
Absolutely. And that's something we encourage people to do up front. As soon as you hear from a debt collection company or attorney, is to ask them in writing to send you to verify the debt, to send you proof of the debt. And by law, they're required to do that, or else they need to cease all collection actions against you.
So it's like some of these mortgage foreclosure companies that can't actually prove right now that they own the mortgage.
Right. It's exactly parallel to that robo-signing foreclosure scandal. The same has been happening for a long time in the consumer debt collection industry, where people are filing false affidavits saying they've delivered notice of a lawsuit to someone. It's commonly referred to as sewer service, the idea being that these individuals are just, throwing these notices in the sewer.
Bob on St. George, Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Good. I had a question in regards to my son had an operation, and I paid my co-payment, and the hospital did a third-party biopsy, and then that company sent me bills, which were not covered under the my coverage. And I fought it with the hospital, but then they went off and sent it off to a debt collection. It got resolved because the amount of money was not enough to really go after, so they just gave up on it. But what do you do with cases like that, where the hospital bills things and they send it off to third parties and not following within the medical agreements?
Thank you, Bob. I'm so glad he called with this, because this happens all the time. People go in for whatever medical procedure. They think they're covered under their insurance because the hospital is covered or because the doctor is covered. But then there are all these particular interventions, anesthesia, biopsy, whatever, that turn out to be from, uninsured third parties.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get stuck and hit by debt collectors.
Yeah, increasingly debt buyers are also purchasing medical debts. So you can, in this situation, a lot of the protections that I'm talking about when a debt buyer contacts you or attempts to sue you would also hold. There are also some groups in New York that are looking specifically at medical debt issues. There might be other options available to some people.
What if the whole thing's a mistake and you're being pursued for someone else's debt? What can be done to stop the dunning?
Yeah, so we deal with this a lot with people who call our hotline, which again is 212-925-4929. I want to make sure people get that. And it's staffed in English and Spanish, by the way. So there's different layers, there's different steps depending on what stage of the process you're in. So actually on our website and through our hotline, we can offer people sample letters that you can send either to your original creditor or to the debt collection firm. And again, these firms are obligated to have and to provide affirmative proof that you owe the debt and that they own it. They can't just say that you own it, claim that you owe it, and go after you in court.
All right. Now, that's going to do it for this week. But Dayanir will be back next week when we will talk more about credit and credit reports. And I understand that one of the provisions of the Dodd-Frank bill is to provide free credit reports for everyone. So, listeners, you have an assignment. Get your own credit report over the next week and tell us what you've learned, or call us with your questions next Thursday for Dayanir Del Rio from NEDAP. So how do we go about getting the free reports? And these aren't the ones that we hear advertised all the time, right?
Right. So actually in New York, we've had this right to a free credit report since 2005, and it's through amendments to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which is an important law that protects us all in the credit sphere. So the way you order your credit report is to go to the website annualcreditreport.com, or you can order it by telephone at 877-322-8228. All the information that was on the website. And you should avoid a lot of these so-called free creditreports.com with the catchy tunes and so forth. Those are not free.
Just go to the one, annual credit report.
And that's for all three. Exactly. And there you can order your report from the three major agencies, the TransUnion, Experian, Equifax.
And then we will talk about these credit scores and what they actually mean and how you can use them on next week's show with Dayanir Del Rio from NEDAP. And again, the NEDAP hotline, we said we'd give it again, and here it is, 212-925-4929, 925-4929. Thanks again. So informative. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.